Hello and welcome to this face-to-face podcast for Super League Triathlon. These are the in-depth interviews that myself, Adam Leach from Super League Triathlon, are having the privilege to do with some great personalities from the sport. This episode, I got to sit down with Henry Schoeman. I did this interview during the Arena Games Triathlon, which Henry, of course, went on to win. A really fascinating interview with Henry. He has been through some really rough times with illness and injury. It was an emotional interview. It was a struggle at times for him to talk about that, but I really admire that he was very open and very honest about it. But it's just great to see Henry back, and it was great to have the chance to sit down and go into this deep dive of where he's been more recently, but also how he's got to where he is and where he's going. Thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoy this. Hope you get a bit from it, and we'll be back soon with another episode. Henry, welcome. It's great to have you here for this face-to-face interview. And I think everybody in triathlon would agree with me in saying that it's just great to be able to say Henry Schoeman is back. It's been a long time for you to get to this point. There's obviously been some pretty painful moments along the way, but how does it feel to you to actually finally be able to say, I'm back?
Oh, it feels so good to say I'm back. To be in front of the cameras, the light, the action in the show, I mean, it's just amazing. Like, I've really missed it. And, you know, like, it's such a great opportunity to, you know, have Super League, you know, hearing my story and putting it out there, because it's been a tough journey. Like you said, it was a couple of years that I've been out of it. So, but at the moment, you know, I'm just living my dream right now, back to racing the best in the world, on a podium step in Montreal, and looking forward to more.
So was there a point in this journey where you thought this wouldn't happen again, that maybe this was all over for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There were definitely points where I certainly doubted that I would ever get back to running. And certainly that I will even get back to being on the level that I was before the injury and before the Olympics. It's been a very dark road since I fractured my talus at the Olympics. It was basically a 6-month period where I was kind of hoping and trying everything to let that bone heal. It started becoming a non-union. And in December, January, I started reaching out to different specialists, surgeons, to go the surgical route, because obviously the conservative route of just trying to let it heal wasn't working. And, you know, I can't wait for the rest of my life to let this thing heal. And surgery is scary. I mean, you never really know what's going to happen. And for me, the surgery was a massive risk. There was a chance that when they drill into the bone to fixate with two pins, that the talus could actually split in half or shatter. And that would probably mean the end of my career or not being able to run again. So fortunately, the surgery went really well. It was a successful surgery. I was immobilized for about 3 to 4 months, and the road back to running, I was able to, you know, gradually get back to running. So, I mean, it's been a hell of a journey, and to be able to run with a lot of fitness and a lot of confidence, it just means so much.
Do you mind if I just take you back a little bit further as well? Because that injury was obviously huge, but that certainly wasn't the only problem that you had to overcome in the last few years. It does feel like it's been one thing after another. Can you take us back? Obviously, you were very, very sick and genuinely very ill for a period of time as well.
Yeah, it actually all started in 2019, when I was seriously ill following the Luzon World Champs. I was hospitalized. There was a virus that was attacking my liver, and they couldn't identify what it was. And funny enough, when they ran all the blood tests, they found a coronavirus that was actually attacking my system. And at that time, it was known as MERS, which is a Middle Eastern strain. And, you know, I tried Googling coronavirus in 2019, and I could hardly find anything about it. Funny enough, you know, you Google, well, everyone knows Corona, COVID right now. So I wouldn't say it was COVID-19, but it was a strain of coronavirus that was attacking my system. So, I mean, it all started back in 2019. And I tried to come back to the Super League Championship Series in that year. I wasn't at full fitness, but I mean, I took part. I was still in the mix. I still had some fun. And I kind of got back to full fitness by December, and the following year was looking really up for me. I was, you know, hitting my best times. I was in my best fitness. I was in my best place. And then obviously COVID hit, everything got canceled, and we had to wait another year for the Olympics. And as a South African, it was extremely difficult to travel. We were regarded as like a red listed country. And to be able to travel, like, we had to bridge through certain countries to try and get somewhere. And in some cases, we just weren't able to travel. So I was kind of blocked from racing that whole year. I did eventually race towards the end of the year. And then 21 was the Olympics, and traveling kind of got going again. I raced the World Series. You know, I was up there with the best. Everything was on track for a gold medal at the Olympics. And then, yeah, it was a year and a half where I had the ankle injury. But it wasn't all over there. I mean, you know, I got myself ready for the Championship Series in 22. And literally 2 days before I was about to fly out to London, I came off my bike and broke my radial head and my elbow. It was just a pure case of the front tire blew in my wheel and I was on the ground. And there was nothing I could really do or save it, because I was going downhill and couldn't really slow down fast enough. So that put me out another couple months, missed out on a bunch of racing. As you can imagine, that was really detrimental to my mental health, firstly. And honestly, I don't really talk a lot about it, but I got thrown into a pretty deep hole after that. And just very fortunate to have my family being the strong pillars of support around me, because without them, they were basically the flashlights in that dark tunnel. And I mean, obviously, with all of this happening, the birth of my daughter Lilia in March 22. So, I mean, that was basically a silver lining in that year. I was able to spend a lot of time at home, go through the different milestones with her, watch her grow up, because she literally changes every day. She's a different baby, like week on week. So, very fortunate to be able to witness that, be at home, support my wife through all of it as well. It's definitely time for me to get out, back out there. The fire's burning very deep, and yeah, just need to do what I do best.
Yeah, just skipping back to when you were obviously sick and you were hospitalized. I mean, that must be incredibly scary to be that sick and to really have no answers as to why.
Yeah, it was very scary. I mean, they were running blood tests and my liver count was like kind of through the roof. So it was scary because I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I was just in hospital. There was one night where I thought I was really going to die. Like I was in extreme pain. I had to call the nurses. I called my wife. I was like, something is not right. They had to just pump morphine into me to kind of like settle with this pain. And it kind of settled, but it took a long time. I wasn't able to train until these levels came down, which it took a good month or two. Obviously I took a big step back, just reflected on my journey so far and, you know, spend time with my wife. Our lives are quite busy. We're traveling a lot, and I really use the time well to, you know, just kind of reflect and enjoy what I've got around me.
I appreciate this is quite difficult to maybe answer and to go there, but I feel like I have to ask it. What's the lowest you felt? You're very open, and you said you struggled. You had mental health problems around it, which is of course is very understandable. But how low did you go? How low did you feel?
Yeah, I think I know there's a lot of awareness around mental health, but I think when the time is right, I'll talk about it. So I just feel like I cry every time on this.
It's okay. It's tough. We're talking about something that's really tough. It's really personal. I think it's something that a lot of people probably relate to. But something that's very important to you in your life and where it goes, where you think it's going, it's very hard for anyone to deal with.
I mean, what I can say is it definitely crossed my mind a few times that I'll just give up. So, yeah, like give up on triathlon. And yeah,
that's hard, right? Because you've dedicated your whole life to being a world-class elite athlete. To even have the thought of stopping, especially when you're still in your prime years.
I think the hardest part was, you know, I came from a place where I thought I was on top of the world to literally to the deepest, lowest ground that you can possibly get into. So I think that was the hardest part. And to think that I wouldn't get an opportunity again, I think that was probably the hardest part.
I wonder if it gives you a different insight into everything that you've experienced in your career now. Because when you're in it and you're successful, you're winning, you're bouncing from country to country, event to event, you're being successful, you must just sort of feel invincible. And maybe you don't even think about it that much.
That's a very good point, because that's something that I think me personally, I took it for granted. Maybe some others do, but I think you get so caught up in, you know, the racing, the traveling. When you're doing well, like, you don't think about what would happen if you suddenly lose everything. So what the last couple of years has really taught me is to really have a lot of gratitude and just appreciate everything around me. So when I'm at these races, when I'm on the start line, when I'm in the week leading up to the race, I'm taking it all in. Like, I'm really soaking it in and just really making the most of it, having as much fun as I can while still being as serious as I can, because I'd still take it very seriously and I want to win the races. So I'm just much more of a sponge right now and just soaking it all in.
Do you feel like you're going back to the beginning of your career again in some ways?
Yes, in some ways, because in the beginning of my career, I was like, yeah, again, just like wide open, you know, learning from everyone around me, seeing how everything works. In a way, I'm kind of like getting my rhythm again, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, like, just enjoying everything that I get to witness.
What was it then that pulled you back from saying, that's it, I'm done?
I think as a natural personality trait that I have is just a fighting spirit. And I think deep down, there's just something inside of me that just keeps me pushing, keeps fighting. There were days that were super hard. And I think my family and my wife and my daughter were around there to keep the smile on my face and keep pushing me every day. So they were definitely like there to help me through those times where I thought, you know, it was done. But I've got that fighting spirit and I have it in racing. I've got that aggressiveness. And I think that's what really helped me to get through the hardest times as well.
This might seem like a little bit of a hypothetical question, but a lot of athletes struggle, some really quite badly. And there's some really very emotional stories you hear about when they stop competing, because they're just not prepared for what happens when they stop, because they spend their whole life doing it. They're just used to it. It's just what they've become. It's kind of how they've come to see themselves as well. So has all this given you a new perspective on that when the day does come? And I guess maybe the perspective that you want to be the one actively making the decision, not to feel like you've been forced when the time comes later on in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the thought has definitely come across my mind. You know, I've had a lot of change in perspective. Firstly, with my newborn Lilia, like, it really changes your whole world around. Like, you start thinking everything about her and having the best for her. What kind of world are we living in? You know, like, you know, you think about all these things when you suddenly have a newborn. And, you know, being away from the sport with a possibility that I was never able to get back into it, you really start thinking, you know, like, what do I do? Because suddenly you just go from nonstop training, racing, to suddenly you're at home and now you're on the sofa watching everyone compete around you. So it definitely gives you a different perspective. And there was one good thing that came out of this when I was back home and thinking about everything, is giving back to the sport. In South Africa, I've come up with my own nonprofit organization where it's called the Henry Schoeman Foundation. And I started working on this to kind of give back to triathlon in South Africa, because at the moment there's no support, there's no funding, there's just nothing for any of the juniors to come through to the senior ranks anymore. Like, there's a huge gap between me and the rest of South African triathlon. So I really thought hard about this. I got some brainstorming together with some people that I trust that will be directors on the foundation. And we're working in ways that we can, you know, bridge that gap between the development of the athletes and myself, because we need to get athletes the equipment and then give them the opportunity, because they deserve it.
So do you see that this is a wider problem in triathlon? That there's beginning to seem like a little bit of the haves and the have-nots with the federations. There are some federations that are comparatively rich. They finance their athletes. They look after them well. They're able to kind of give them that elite background that they need to perform. And then there are many other countries where the athletes are much more nearer to, frankly, self-financed.
Yeah, there's a big difference. And you know, it really shows in the quality of the athletes that the countries bring through. I mean, just if you think about it, look at Great Britain, USA, and Australia. The amount of depth that they have and their quality is crazy. Like, there's, you know, all these youngsters racing in the arena games, and, you know, they've got funding, they've got development programs, and they're coming through really strong. And, you know, that's where South Africa are falling behind. And yeah, there are a couple other countries that are also. And, you know, it's a little bit unfair, but, I mean, it is what it is. And sometimes you just have to kind of risk it to get out there. That's how it was for me in the beginning. There was no funding for me to get to my first big races. And, you know, we had to take out a loan. My parents took out a loan to get me to my first race. It was a bit of a disaster, but we took the risk and got to the next one. And I got a six in Yokohama World Series. So, I mean, and that, I used that prize money. I got myself to the next race. I got a fourth in Kitzbühel. And, you know, I kind of just cemented my position in the World Series and triathlon. So not a lot of people have that opportunity. Not a lot of them, you know, manage to get it on their second chance. I was very lucky. I had the talent and we just went for it. You know, some who may not have that position to actually get to their race. Triathlon's all about getting to races and getting points. It's not posting a time back in your home country. So it's extremely difficult, and unfortunately, financials are a big part of it.
Is that the biggest barrier in South Africa? Are there other barriers around quality, access, profile of the sport? They say you have to see it to be it. So are there kind of issues around that, or pure financial nature, do you think?
What I've witnessed over the years in triathlon South Africa is that there's a lot of talent. No doubt about it. We breed some very good, strong athletes, whether it's rugby, soccer, triathlon, whatever it is. Like, we have a very strong mentality. So I think the talent is definitely there. And a lot of the kids coming through their kind of high school years and their early 20 years, they get put off because they just can't get to that level. They don't have the financial structure to get them to Europe or get them across the world to race. And they kind of measure themselves against the South African quality, which is sometimes not good enough. You have to measure yourself against the rest of the world to be able to improve yourself and get better. And they just don't get that opportunity.
And that's something you think you'll be able to affect ultimately with the Henry Schumann Foundation? I guess that's your aim ultimately.
Yeah, my aim is to have like a squad where we can, you know, put financials into it and get them to those races, because that's where it's really lacking and it's a big part of it. And then also to help them with equipment, help them with facility access. It all goes a long way.
It's a remarkable story, really, that you've had these incredible lows recently and yet out of it, these huge positive as well, like a lovely daughter at home and now being back on podiums, competing, being back racing. This must have given you huge optimism for the future, and that hopefully you won't go through these hard times again, as you've got so much positivity around you now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, it's always a good thing when you make good out of a bad. And, you know, when I was going through a bad in the early stages, I started thinking about, you know, what changes can I do? And it was massive. And I think I'm so proud that I've come up with the Henry Schumann Foundation. It's always been a plan of mine to leave a little bit of a legacy behind. And, you know, like, I've spent 10 years, you know, in the professional field. I've learned so much how to be the best athletes in the world. I have all this knowledge and I want to kind of share it with the next generation. So, you know, why just bottle it up when I can, you know, flourish it on other athletes that have the potential?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I just think now it's a really appropriate time to get back to the start for you in some ways. I know when you and I have spoken in the past, down the years around Super League events, talked a lot about your family dynamic as well. Your brother, obviously, many people may not know, but he was an Olympic swimmer. Your dad ran at a national level and he became your coach as well. What was that environment like growing up, especially with your older brother, obviously excelling kind of at the pinnacle sport in South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, coming from a very like sporting family is quite nuts. I mean, I think it really helps in some regards that they're super supportive and they know exactly what I need and they give it to me. They've never hesitated once to, you know, not give me whatever I needed to be better than the day before. And growing up with Rion, my brother, who went to two Olympics before me in swimming, really taught me a lot about discipline, taught me about, you know, what it takes to get to that kind of level. And, you know, to have and that person as a brother, you know, in the same household, sometimes we get a little bit competitive out on pool deck, in the pool. Sometimes I would beat him and he wouldn't be very happy, but he beat me like all the other times. It's really cool. It's really nice to grow up with a brother that, you know, has gone through all of it. I still remember talking to him before the Rio Olympics, just asking him for any advice, any tips. And he was so helpful. Like, he really helped me with that first games experience. Like I've been to the games already. So it really does help. And, you know, growing up with someone that is so competitive like that, it helped push me in those early days. I always wanted to be like my brother. He was always excelling in the sport. I was always living in his shadow those first 10 years in swimming. And yeah, I mean, he was the one that was succeeding. He was the one going on national camps. He was going to the Olympics and it was all about Rion Schoeman. And, you know, funny enough, there was one guy who was always in a tuck shop named Byron at the swimming pool we used to swim at. And he always told me, just wait. Just be patient, like your time will come. So I really took that to heart. And it was nice that someone saw me at that stage already. And, you know, maybe it was a good thing that I didn't come through so strong in my early years in swimming. Maybe I would have got to the Olympics for swimming and maybe I wouldn't have thought about triathlon. So I'm very like, I don't regret anything. I'm really glad that I made the transition over to triathlon when swimming kind of stopped. Well, put it this way, is that I always wanted to go to the Olympics as a youngster. And I always thought I was going to go for swimming, maybe for triathlon at a later stage. And yeah, I mean, like I tried everything I could, but with a small physique and kind of stopped improving when I was about 16, 17 years old. I just kind of made a transition over to triathlon and just made the move and went for it and no looking back.
What was it like? I mean, you obviously have this competitive fire that's burning inside you that's got you to this point. And I guess it must have been there the whole time. Seeing your older brother being that successful. If I put myself in that position, I guess I would think in equal measure, inspiring, jealousy inducing, incredible, frustrating. Somehow in equal measure. Is that an accurate reflection of how you felt growing up?
Yeah, you get a lot of emotions, you know, because there's a lot of like jealousy when he was going on national camps and I just missed the cut because I wasn't good enough. He was getting all the limelight, all the interviews, all the support from the swimming federation. And I was like, wow, this is like, when is it going to be my turn? And yeah, I mean, like, but it was also to witness him qualify for his first Olympics was crazy. It was electrifying. I still remember the senior nationals in Durban, which was the Olympic trials, and he literally made it by split seconds. You know, to see the crowd cheering and going wild, and you know, my parents like not really sure if he's going to make it or not in that last few meters. And then when he actually got it, it was just, yeah, I mean, that is inspiring. So. It really, it inspired me. It had motivated me. I wanted to be in my brother's position. I wanted to walk his shoes. And I'm just glad that I've made a journey of myself through triathlon.
Yes. So when and how did the triathlon part come in? Obviously, we understand the swimming part now, but how did the rest of it come together?
Well, it didn't come together at first. I started with my last couple of years as a junior I won national championships twice without any really specific training. And I was like, wow, this is good. I'm good at this stuff. I'm kind of comparing myself locally. And at that time, Triathlon South Africa got us onto a couple of camps overseas. And I did really well in one of them. And, you know, it kind of like gave me that confidence that I'm on the right track. Coming from a swimming background, suddenly running, I was struggling with shin issues in my lower legs. It eventually turned out it was stress fractures in both my shins at the same time. And yeah, I mean, I kind of tried to push through this pain a lot and I just kind of wasn't going anywhere. And I found myself just kind of one step forward, two steps back. So I was just like kind of going nowhere. And eventually we found out that it was stress fractures. I tried to do the necessary thing to get it healed, get it strong, get my lower legs strong, but I never really got anywhere until I did this off-road triathlon and I went over handlebars, shattered my collarbone, and that actually gave me a forced rest. At that time, back in 2011, I thought, you know, triathlon's done, I'm over this. Like, what am I going to do now? Because I'm not getting anywhere with the injury. Now I've shattered my collarbone. What am I going to do? Like, I'm missing out on world champs. Little did I know that it was actually a blessing in disguise. So it gave me that forced rest from running. I started working on the little things, strengthen my feet, strengthen the lower legs, lots of aqua running on the pool surface. And when I started running again, like suddenly I was moving forward, like two steps forward, one step back. And in 2013, I found myself on the World Series. So, I mean, it took a couple of years, but I mean, I got there eventually.
No, I've got to take a step back here, Henry, because you teased me earlier. And you said, my parents took out a loan to get me to my first race and it was a disaster. So I've got to ask you, what happened?
So it was my first race in 2013, the first World Series. I managed to find myself on the start list and it was in San Diego. Big trip for me. My parents actually came along with me to try and like, you know, help me through everything, get me, just give me some support there. And I kind of just didn't think about hydrating enough. As simple as that. I was a big trip from South Africa. I had a couple of days to kind of settle in. I wasn't thinking about drinking water and getting those electrolytes in. And on the run, I just kind of blew up completely. But you know, I had a great race if I look back at it. Like I was there with the front guys on the swim as this new athlete in the World Series. I think I was top three in the water. And that's the best way to learn about the racing is out there in the front being aggressive. By the time I got to the run, I was just absolutely broken. I hobbled over the line. I think I was like 42nd or something like that. I've learned so much from that experience. And yeah, we took another chance in Yokohama because, you know, I was up there in the race, like up there in the front in the swim, up there in the bike. And let's see if I hydrate firstly at my next race, maybe things will go better. And it did. So,
I mean, that must have been mad because I guess when you were first racing, you were looking at the Brownlees, Gomez, people like that, and you were suddenly here with them. That must be an amazing feeling. But I guess as you get more successful, do you get the sense there are youngsters coming in and they look at you in the way you looked at them that time when you first stood on that line in San Diego?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple of years ago when everything was fine, like I didn't really look back at the youngsters. I kind of just looked forward and focused on myself. But, you know, it's been a few years. Now I'm back in the spotlight again and, you know, racing. And now suddenly there's youngsters that are 10 years younger than what I am. So it's a decade, you know, and that's, I feel old now. So definitely, like, I think they're looking up to me. They're probably learning a lot from what I do. I'm learning from what they do as well. I'm always a sponge. I always think that you can always learn until, you can never stop learning, put it that way. And, you know, I learn from, you know, the youngsters that are racing me, like, how do they get their leg speed? They just not thinking, you know, sometimes I think too much in the racing. So it's all these little things that I try and, you know, get a competitive advantage. And yeah, I mean, it's amazing to race the youngsters now as I'm now at the top end of that era.
And obviously you said a lot about learning, taking a lot in and being a bit of a sponge. And you learned a lot from your dad. He's been a very important figure in your career, as well as obviously your life, and has put a lot into coaching you as well. I mean, I'm interested to know, how is that dynamic? I can imagine it's incredibly rewarding like anybody, I imagine, if you can think about your parent being that involved in your professional career, there's got to be some moments that are hard to deal with, I guess is the kindest way of putting it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic. Not a lot of people believe in it, but for me it works. So yeah, my dad comes from a very sporting background, mostly from the running. He competed at a national level on the athletics track, then into like some distance running. And he kind of implements that program through me with the running. And it's been working. It's got me to being one of the best runners in the sport. Yeah, in the beginning days, like we struggled to find middle ground. We had a few arguments. I mean, definitely living at home. And then a lot of the conversation was triathlon and coaching and the program. It got a little bit too much sometimes. And I think we just needed to find, you know, when do we switch on, when do we switch off? Because, I mean, yeah, I'd love to spend time with them, you know, father, son, and then, like, on the track or when we're training or racing, then it's coach, athlete. And sometimes the lines got a little bit blurred, which is understandably, you know, I mean, we're so passionate about the sport. We just want to talk about it. We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to figure out things. We want to talk about the racing. But you need to kind of switch off sometimes. And for me, we slowly worked it. We worked it through. And I think the biggest change came was when I moved out of the house, because that really gave us that separation. And, you know, for me, I like balance. I like being with my wife, who's got nothing to do with triathlon. We talk about all the random stuff, switch off from triathlon. And then when you turn on to triathlon, it's like full on. And I think that's what some athletes need. You need to be able to switch off. And when you switch on, then that fire is burning hot. So we definitely need, well, personally, I need that. And it works well now. Like, and I think the biggest thing with having the dad as a coach is flexibility. He hasn't got a massive squad. He's got about a couple other athletes that he coaches, but it's mainly around me at home. And for me, if I'm injured, if I have a niggle, if I'm sick, easily adjust the training. He's always around me. He's on the scooter when I'm cycling. He's there on the bike if I'm running. So I've got that support 24/7 when I'm training. So I think it just works really well, and that's helped me get me to where I am today.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you mentioned one of the other big influences on your life there, your wife, Franzel. A lot of people on the circuit know her. She's incredibly popular in the triathlon community. I can imagine she's a very grounding character for you as well. She's just, because she's such a great character, isn't she, to be around. It doesn't feel like she's somebody who takes it all too seriously.
Yeah, Franzel, she's a huge character, big personality. Basically my opposite, because I'm more like shy, kept to myself sometimes. But at home, like, we get along so well together. And I think she's a big personality, and she's not shy of anything. And she's very outspoken too, which is quite cool. She's just, the truth is out there. She's an open book. And I love that about her. And, you know, she also inspires me to be the same, you know, be out there as well sometimes and come out of my shell, which has, when I met her, I was very shy and very like introvert, kept to myself. And, you know, since I met her, I've come out a bit more out of my shell, you know, I've expanded my personality. She's only been a positive influence to me.
Looking back, Henry, on your career so far, some incredible achievements, an Olympic medal, Commonwealth Games medal, the battles you've had in Super League, particularly with Vince. I think many people will look back on those and remember them. Is it possible to even pick a highlight, or is it maybe something that's not even one of those obvious ones somewhere along the line?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so fortunate to have so many career highlights and achievements. Yeah, coming way back to 2014, where we won the silver medal at the Commonwealth Games for the mixed relay team. Then it was the Olympic medal in Rio, Commonwealth Games gold, battles with Vince in the Super League series, even Abu Dhabi in 2018, where I won from start to finish, like in the World Series. I've had some crazy races. I've raced up Kitzbühel Horn. Even though I finished fourth, that was still one of my highlights. There's a lot that I've experienced, and I'm just so thankful that I've experienced all of that. I think I've had like a full career already, but I just feel like I'm only getting started.
Well, that's got to be great feeling like that right now, given everything that's been going on. So looking a little bit further ahead, what do you see now as a future for you in racing? Is it just long course eventually? Are you very focused on short course through to Paris? Would you go to LA? Do you even look at it like that now?
The main focus right now is Paris Olympics. I just want to, you know, come back for revenge after what happened in Tokyo. I want to come back. I want to finish the race, first of all, and finish it with the best that I've got. I'd really love to get another Olympic medal. I'd love to improve on the bronze. So, I mean, I'm going to pour a lot into that. And the middle distance racing is very appetizing to me right now. It's highly competitive. There's a mixture of the Ironman athletes compared to the short course athletes that are mixing in the middle here. And I think it's just becoming a good show. And there's some good money on the line. The sponsors are loving it. So, I mean, I'm tapping into it a little bit. I do like the non-draft format. I think you can play a lot with your strengths and weaknesses quite a bit. But I do have a bit of work to do on the bike as a small athlete. Get my setup right. I don't spend enough time on the TT. So, I mean, I've got a bit of work to do to be able to be competitive for that podium positions in those races. Up in the future, you know, if everything is all going well, like, I'm just having so much fun in the short course races, though, to be honest. Like, I love Super League. I think I'm still doing well, according to Montreal, being on a podium. Like, I've still got it. And I want to see what I've got in the championship series. And, yeah, I mean, like, with World Triathlon, I still like that racing. But I really enjoy the Super League. So, I mean, I don't want to touch too much on the long distance. But, yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty good at it, put it that way. But yeah, I'd love to try and be in like three different worlds with the super sprints, the World Triathlon, and the middle distance for now.
Well done, Henry. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. I think I speak for everybody in triathlon when I say it's great to have you back on the start lines again. And we wish you very well indeed for the future.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, since Montreal, there's been so much support online. Everywhere around, like, it's just been overwhelming. So, I mean, I just want to thank everyone out there who, you know, sends a message, gives me support. It just means so much to me. Like, I do see it. I can't get back to all of it, but I mean, it really gives me strength. It gives me a fire burning even more to get better.